Not many people came in there. And I remember Laura coming to get me, and she was like, "You're going to Brand." I was like, "I don't want to go to Brand. I just finished using." And I did detox here, except I had a little bit. I had a little bit for the next day, and then I started detoxing the next day. But, you know, Laura was my first sponsor. Branna was the area where I started in Narcotics Anonymous, and you all showed me love. You hugged me, supported me, let me share at meetings when I was high. I remember nodding out and sharing and crying and carrying on, and people just loved me and came and picked me up and told me to keep coming back and supported me. And I would use, and I would stay clean for a minute, use, stay clean for a minute. And it was the power of love, you know. I experienced that in the Brana area. It's always been about love, and that's what narcotics is. Narcotics Anonymous is for me. It's about love. And there's a lot of love here. A lot of love. And so I was thinking about, you know, I was trying to think about what I was going to say, and I have no idea, of course. The teleprompter is broken. My speech was supposed to come up on the chimneys over there, but I just prayed and prayed with a lot of people today, and I know that I have a message. I've stayed clean for the last 13 years, despite a lot of stuff that's happened. I didn't stay clean, Laura, after that Brana, though. I didn't stay clean. I used some more, but, you know, I grew up here. There's a lot of addiction in my family. Grew up with a lot of chaos. There was gambling, dealing, using, alcoholism, you know, just a lot of stuff going on in my family. And I think my first drug of choice was fantasy, you know, was going over to my friends' houses. They had just a very nice home, mom and dad, everybody sit down at dinner together. Nobody's firing off shotguns in the front yard or coming to the house saying, "Your dad lost the house, we're here to take it." And stuff like that. So I started using pretty early on. Like, I guess when I was about 13 is when I started using. There was always a man involved. And you know, when you grow up in the country, when you grow up around here, there's like back roads and kegs and people making drugs. We had a lot of interesting stuff then. So I got with some people, and you know, I always... I always wanted to fit in, you know. I always wanted people to like me. I was a people pleaser. I started using right before high school, right about the time my parents split up, and used in high school. Some stuff happened. I started smoking crack back in like ninth grade, I guess, and was like a weekend warrior with that. And then I remember right around the end of high school, I got a scholarship for VCU and went to college and graduated and continued to use. And as long as I had some structure in my life, I did okay. After VCU, I lived in an artist commune in upstate New York for about a year. I lived in Seattle, Washington for about a year and a half, in California and Florida and Vermont and lots of other places, and I took myself with me wherever I went. And there was a lot of using, there was a lot of Grateful Dead tours, there was a lot of... there was a lot of Dead shows, there was a lot of psychedelics, there was lots of raves in the 90s. So I've always loved dancing. If you see me later, you'll see me dancing. I love to dance. One of my favorite things to do. We can dance clean. I just went to a Dead show recently and danced for like 3 hours. Nothing in my system except caffeine and nicotine. Good to go. So, after really it was after college when I started, like, when I found heroin. And that really, I remember meeting this guy from Queens, New York. He took me to New York for the weekend. We got a bundle of heroin, an 8-ball of cocaine, a hotel room, and some syringes, and it was on. And from there on, my addiction really took off, and a lot of stuff happened, you know? I remember just, you know, I've been to treatment several times. I've been baptized. I've been prayed over. I've been to psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, and it wasn't until I was ready to surrender and Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, you know? But I had to be willing and I had to be ready. I was thinking about, like, when I came back to Richmond, I graduated from VCU and I came back to Richmond and was staying with a friend of mine and trying to get clean, going to meetings, and I ended up using just kind of like here and there, and nothing really bad was happening. I was going to meetings, and then the last time that I used, I've had consequences before, but the last time I used, I woke up somewhere. I didn't know where I was. I'd been raped. I'd been robbed. Didn't know where I was. Was trying to find my clothes. My bicycle was still there. And I remember walking outside and just that feeling of, like, hopelessness. Thinking about it now, it's like, whew, just that feeling of hopelessness and, like, I wanted to die. You know, and I was like, I cannot live like this anymore. This is not how I want to live my life, you know. So I remember calling my sponsor I had at the time, and of course my friend kicked me out of where I was living with her, and she said, you got to go if you use, and I'm grateful for that. I called my sponsor and ended up moving in with her and lived in an area in Richmond where I used at and where I copped a lot. I was probably the only Caucasian that lived in this apartment complex, and I didn't have a license. My license had been suspended. Had a couple charges. I overdosed while I was in my car one day in Richmond, and I was in Northside, and my car ran into a funeral home. And imagine that. And I woke up. And I woke up on a stretcher, and there's a funeral home right there. And I was like, oh, my God, did I die? And then the police were there. And I was like, no, 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 I didn't die. Here's the police. And they were like, I remember them just, they took me to the hospital. They were checking my pockets. But I had secret pockets where you could hide things. And I remember thinking, I'll be glad when they let me out of here so I can use one more time. And, so it's interesting because I don't have a jail story at all. I did one day as a result of that reckless driving charge. I went to traffic court one day in Richmond and didn't think anything was going to happen to me. Like, people were coming up and like, yeah, I'm guilty. And they were like, okay, here's your fine. You go. And so I'd gotten high before I went to court that morning just to calm my nerves. And so I walk up there, and as soon as I come up, the judge calls me up. Like, all these people start coming up. Detectives, police officers, the people from the funeral home. I'm like, what are all these people doing here? Where's my little ticket so I could leave? And that was not the case. They wanted me to give them a drug test. And I said, oh, no. You know, when you get high, you can't pee. You just can't pee at all, no matter how hard you try. And so I remember they put the cuffs on me, took me into holding, and I spent a day in the Richmond City Jail. It was the longest day of my life. It really was. I'm a vegetarian. I have been for years. When they brought the food around, I told them, I can't eat this. I'm like, I'm a vegetarian. I cannot eat this food right here. Could I get something else? Can I get... They were just like... What are you talking about? Who is this crazy girl? So yeah, they did not give me vegetarian food. And they also gave me a really hard time the whole time I was there. And I remember this lady I was handcuffed with. I'll never forget her. Her name was April, and she was like, "Don't worry, I'm gonna take care of you." I remember being in the jail cell and crying, and because they told me they weren't going to let me out, they were going to keep me for a long time, and I just cried and cried and cried, and so they did let me out that evening, thank God, and I went and got high, of course, and kind of continued on until that last time I talked about that was just completely horrible. Like, I've had consequences throughout my life using, not a lot with the law, but just that inside stuff. You know, just that feeling of, like, insecurity and not being good enough and looking for love in all the wrong places. A lot of my using went along with relationships I was in and people I was with. And I don't know, like, after that day, my sponsor let me come and stay with her. And that's really when my process started. I pretty much lost everything, but I got a bicycle because addicts will make you wait a long time. When you need a ride, no, I'm not very patient. I would call people for rides and they would take a long time, or after the meeting, I'd have to wait for people for a while. So I had a bike, I got a bicycle, and I would take myself to meetings all over town. I lived in one side of town, went to meetings everywhere. And I need to tell you, my home group is on Friday nights at 9 p.m. I'm not there tonight, but it's Rainbow's Inn on the corner of Park and Davis in the Fan in Richmond, Virginia. It's been my home group for the last 12 years. My clean date is June 25th, 2003. I just celebrated 13 years recently. Awesome. I think I've talked enough yet? I started this process of recovery. Like, I had a taste of it here in the Brana area, and I'm forever grateful to all of you here. You know, this is home for me. This is where it all started. This is where I got a taste of what Narcotics Anonymous was like. I saw people staying clean. I saw people giving me unconditional love no matter what I did. I was so, so grateful. I can't express how grateful I am for that. I get into recovery in Richmond, got some service commitments. I was on special events because I like to dance. People told me to get a commitment. Special events was good. I went to all the dances, except I had to work and I couldn't dance and I didn't like that very much, but I did that. And I remember my sponsor telling me she didn't tell me to not get in a relationship my first year. She just said, "Listen, you're going to do what you're going to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but just know that after, if something happens, there's going to be consequences. You're going to have some feelings, and you might not want to be sitting at your first year anniversary looking out into the audience and saying, 'Oh my God, how many people was I with?' You know?" And I'm happy to report I did not get in any relationships my first year. I had some relations with some people. And very different. I was still crushed by all of them, though. I cried my eyes out every time. Like, why doesn't he call me? Why does he love me? I love him. You know? What happened? Tell me. I hadn't worked a step. I didn't do any step work my first year, and it probably showed in my behavior. But at my first year anniversary, I think there was probably, I only counted like four or five. I felt good about that. Not real good about that. I know some of you out there can count more. I know you can count a lot more. But that's all I had my first year. So, you know, that's just, I was having such a good time clean, you know? But I was still, like, looking for that acceptance from something outside myself, you know? There was still this emptiness and this void inside of me that wanted to be loved, you know? And it's kind of, like, just been that for my entire life, you know, with relationships. And I think my dad leaving at an early age, and him and my mom splitting up and just watching that relationship fail and not having a real close relationship with him. We have a pretty good relationship today, but for many years we didn't. And I think I was seeking that out for a long time, just acceptance from a man and love. So I guess around my first year clean, I met someone and stayed actually in that relationship until about, I don't know, sometime like last year. I was in a long-term relationship. I became a mother. I guess I had about 13 years clean. Jaden will be 8 in October. So I had about 4 or 5 years clean when I had Jaden. And wow, what a gift. Becoming a parent has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. You know, I have so much love for this little boy. I'd like to tell you, like, the last 13 years have been easy and nothing happens. We get clean and everything is wonderful. And, you know, it's like, it's about my perception of things. It's about my reaction. It's about how I deal with it. And, like, some stuff has happened. You know, I've had to change sponsors a few times. I've had a couple pretty major surgeries in recovery that I had to take narcotics for. And one thing I can say for anybody that's going to go through that or is planning on that is just like being real honest with my sponsor and with other people and letting them know what I had to take and knowing when to stop taking it. Because it was scary. This last state convention we had, I was on narcotics at the time, and I went to the convention because I wanted to go. And some people are like, Kim, you are fucked up. And I was like, no, I'm on narcotics. I mean, I know I don't. I mean, I'm not using, but I mean, I'm not going to look like myself, talk like myself, behave like myself because I'm under the influence of something per a doctor's orders the way I was supposed to take it. But I started, I guess after my first year of recovery, like really getting into step work, because I found myself in some pretty painful situations after those relations I talked about. I just knew I wanted to do something different, you know? And I met somebody, fell in love right away, of course, right away. I mean, pretty much after a first date for most of my life, like, we're going to get married. I love you. You're mine. Let's go. Let's run off into the sunset. I remember meeting a guy in treatment, and this is a good story right here. I met a guy in treatment, and he was very charming. He was an artist. He was from Philadelphia, and he'd been to, all right, Philly. We met in treatment, and I remember him saying, like, have you been to treatment before? And I'm like, no, it's my first time. And I said, what about you? And he said, I've been like 5 times. And I was like, okay, good. You really know what's going on here. I'm going to hang with you because you got some good information. You've done this before. I'm going to stick with you. Whew. Wow. So he went to a recovery house in Florida. So I said, oh, I'm going to go to a recovery house in Florida too. Florida sounds like a nice place to get clean. And so we ended up in Florida, and we both used. And then we ended up in Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, on this little street called Sterner Street, in this closet of some lady's house for like a couple months, and we couldn't get out. It was crazy. He was like, okay, Kim, we're gonna go back to treatment and then we're gonna get married, okay? I was like, sure, let's do that. We ended up splitting ways. Like, I slept with the dope man and he got mad at me and he didn't want to be with me anymore, even though I shared the dope with him. He didn't want to be with me anymore. I mean, I was trying to be helpful. He didn't want sharing. That's what we do here, sharing. So that did not work out. So I I think I met a guy every time I went to treatment and like fell in love, you know? It was like treatment, men. It was just like that need to like fix myself, you know? Like something else needs to fix me. Like I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I need somebody to love me. And if you don't love me, what does that say about me? And, you know, I still deal with those issues today, that insecurity and the feeling of not being good enough. I was walking around here pacing and, like, people are going to judge me and what am I going to say? And they're going to think I'm crazy. And what if they boo me off stage? And I thought about that Showtime at the Apollo. And I was going to be up here. There's going to be a big gong or something. And they were going to go, boom. And then pull me off with the cane. Tell me off the stage. But we don't do that here. It's like, it's interesting because I was reading my horoscope this morning and it said, do not share personal information with others. Well, what the fuck am I going to do? I'm coming to a camp out and I have to speak. If I can't share any personal information, like, I don't know what I'm going to say. This is kind of scary. And then my therapist, because I go to therapy regularly, so I highly recommend it. My therapist said, Kim, listen, when I have to do speeches or that sort of thing, I make sure I plan, I do note cards, I write out my main points I want to say. And I was like, we don't do that in Narcotics Anonymous, you know? I got some books here and some stuff here, and, you know, in case I really get stuck, I got some stuff here. And I know some of this stuff in here, too. I've worked some of these steps now. I've actually worked all of them a few times, so I know this stuff. But it was just funny. He was like, you need to prepare yourself with note cards, and that will help you. And I'm like, no, it's just got to come from the God of my understanding. It's got to come from my heart, and what I'm meant to say is what I'll say, you know? That's what I know about this program. Like, you know, pain shared is pain lessened. And, you know, the last recovery is a journey of discovery. You know, it truly is. Like, I've discovered so much stuff about myself over these past years. And like I said, the last year or so, like, well, so I've been in this relationship that ended, and I was in love with another addict who made the decision to use some years ago and has been using on and off for quite a few years, and I could not let go. I got in such, it was kind of like I was using with the person. You know what I mean? My life became unmanageable. I was trying to fix, manage, and control him and his recovery. I had made the relationship and this man my higher power. You know, I'd given him all the power. You know, and I can't, like, I really don't blame him. I was angry for a while and, like, blamed him. Like, how could you do this to me and all this stuff? But, you know, like, I am a willing participant in everything I do today. I have choices. If I'm uncomfortable somewhere, I can leave. I have choices today, and when I choose to do certain things, I'm going to get certain consequences, right? So the last several years have been very painful and kind of crazy, and I think through the step work I've been doing recently, I've really discovered, like, some stuff about myself and just the reality of the relationship. You know, I'm a big person that wants to stay in fantasy and what I hope things could be like or what I want them to be like, and it's real tough to look at it for what it is, you know? And it's not always the way I want it to be. You know, I wanted the fucking mom, dad, dog, son, happily ever after, you know? And it's like, I think breakups are hard in any, in life period, but when you break up with someone in the middle of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, when you've been this NA couple for so long, it's really painful. You know, it's really hard. People have their opinions about things. He has his story, I have my story, you know, and it just, I mean, at times I didn't want to come to meetings. I wanted to hide out. I felt terrible about myself. He moved on pretty quickly, and I kind of stayed stuck wanting the relationship. That's why I didn't want to share. So I don't.
Share that shit. Bring yourself.
So I did bring tissues. I know what to do. This might be a skirt, but this is a skirt with pockets. I recommend anybody wearing a skirt to have pockets in it. Keep cigarettes in there. Tissues. Really, whatever you want, I guess. So look, you know, I was holding on to something that I should have let go of a long time ago, but I couldn't see it. And it took him to, like, move on and I wish, like, it could have been this easy breakup, you know, like, we shake hands, we say, you know, I love you so much, we're always going to be friends, we have the sun together, and it's just going to be a nice, wonderful breakup, and that's not fucking how it was, you know, like, I found out the relationship was over when he left his Facebook logged in. On my computer, and I read through his messages, and I read the stuff he said about me and he was saying to other girls, and it broke my heart. I was shattered. I cried. I wanted to kill myself. I called people and I said, please come over. Like, I can't take this. I was in more pain going through that than I'd been, I think, in my entire recovery, you know? And I was like, what's wrong with me? You know? That's all I could say to myself. Like, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't he love me? Why doesn't he want to be with me? And I'm talking about a person that's been using for years, you know? Like, you know, who, understanding the disease of addiction, but being on the other side of it and watching somebody you love struggle and go back and forth and, you know, having to go to, like, the bank machine in the middle of the night and take the money out and go look for the cars and drive around, you know, like, all the insanity. My life had become so unmanageable, and I was trying to keep it together and put on a good face and keep the family together no matter what. And you know what? People have the right to change their minds, you know? People have the right to change their minds, and he changed his mind and didn't want to be with me anymore, and as a result of him doing that, he set me free, you know? He set me free. I have been able to do the work. Thank God for my sponsor. Thank you, Kim, for being here, for coming here and supporting me, because, like, she had gone through a breakup in recovery with some clean time, a long-term relationship. So she knew what that felt like, and she was able to help me through that. We started with the first step, and she was like, write the first step on the relationship. I'm like, the relationship? How do I do that? I don't know what to do. We sat down and we talked about it, and I started writing, and I wrote so much, so fast. It was just like pouring out of me, and it was like a different process for doing step work that I had not done before. Like, getting to that stuff on the inside, you know, like all those feelings I had about myself and all the fantasy I was living in, and just looking at the reality and just being like, you know what, it's time to let go, you know, it's time to let go, it's time to be free. Like, I didn't get clean to settle for anything less than I deserve, you know? I am good enough, I'm smart enough, and people like me. But, I mean, like, I can, I can can say that I got in a relationship so early in recovery, I really didn't know, like, what I wanted, you know, in a relationship, or what I needed, you know? Like, I hadn't done any step work to figure that out yet. And I got with him, and it was wonderful. He's a wonderful person. We have a beautiful son together. But I'm talking about just the pain, the disappointment, the anger, like going through the grieving process in the midst of Narcotics Anonymous. I have not done it gracefully all the time, you know, but I've done the best I could on any given day. And I can tell you, I would have never made it through this without the love and support of the people in Narcotics Anonymous. My support group, my sponsor. Man, I was wearing my sponsor out. I was calling her all the time, like, ah! I'm like, I'm on Facebook right now. I'm looking at the messages. Let me read it to you. She was like, turn it off. Turn it off right now. She was like, don't read it. Don't read it. I'm like, no. No, I can't stop. Okay, bye. I'm gonna call you later. So, you know, like, self-inflicted pain. What am I looking for? I'm going to get what I'm looking for. And I did, you know? So I didn't want to, but I finally had to call him and say, please change your Facebook passcode. So I can't stop looking at it. And thanks for doing that. And I said some other words that I'm not going to say here. I'm trying to keep it clean. I'm trying to not drop the F-bomb too much. So I was able to do that and get some freedom. Like, this has been about humility, honesty for me, like surrender, like all the principles I've had to practice, you know, and I don't practice them perfectly. I've made a lot of mistakes. I have been in a lot of pain. I've said some things and done some things I'm not that proud of, but I have stayed clean through this, you know? I've stayed clean through this. And just want, like, and I've not fixed with anyone or anything. I've been fixing with the steps. I've been fixing with my sponsor and the women in my life who are lifting me up and teaching me that I am okay just the way I am, with who I am. I don't need somebody else to let me know my worth. I am enough. And just learning how to love myself and, like, really surrendering to the God of my understanding and asking for help on a daily basis. Talk about getting a relationship with the God of my understanding. I have one now. Woo! I have one now. Sometimes it takes some painful stuff to get us where we need to be. And I kept praying for God's will. You know, I've been praying for God's will for a long time in my life. And I realized that God did for me what I refused to do for myself. He removed something from my life that I was not willing to let go of. You know, and once that happened, I was set free. And, you know, this year has been difficult. I had the surgery. I had a sponsor who passed away. I had to find a roommate because when he left, there was a income that was suddenly removed from the household, and I was very financially overwhelmed and got a roommate. And it's funny, recently, I've had this roommate since like May 1st, and I found out when she moved in that she was also in recovery. She was in AA, right? And so I came to visit my son because he's staying with my mom for the summer right down the road in Waynesboro, Virginia. And when I came home from that weekend, it was right after I celebrated, she relapsed. She was supposed to be celebrating her first year in AA, and she hadn't drank in a year, but she's got a little pill problem, I found out. So it was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I've given her another chance, you know, and I've talked to her about Narcotics Anonymous, and she sees the program working in my life. She sees people coming over and spending time with me. I've given her some literature to read. I've given her a meeting schedule. And so, you know, she's going to give this NA thing a try because she feels like she might have a drug problem too. So, you know, and that's what that's really what it's about, is like being an example for someone else, you know, showing how this program works.
Attraction, not promotion.
That's right. She sees me staying clean and like, that's right. So she, you know, I'm real hopeful that she's going to find her way and that I don't have to find another roommate. Oh my God. That's stressful. Okay. I went on Craigslist. I went on Facebook and all this other stuff to try to find a roommate, you know, and it's like when you're letting someone in your home, you're just taking a risk and you just got to have a lot of faith that it's going to work out. And, you know, she also knows if she uses again, she's got to go. But it was just like, it's pretty funny because when that happened, when I found out, I was just like, oh, okay. It's kind of like I've been through so much already. It was just like, oh, another little bump in the road. Somebody's used. Okay. But like I said, like, no matter what I've gone through or how bad I've felt about myself or how much I've wanted to give up, give in, check out, commit suicide, homicide, or whatever else, I have found that Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, doing the work to get better. Talking about how I feel, as embarrassing as it may be, I don't want to get vulnerable in front of people and tell you, like, what's going on in my life. My horoscope said don't share my personal information with people today. But, you know, I know that that's how I get free. And I have not held back this year at all. I've asked for help. I've cried. I've kicked. I've screamed. And I've gotten to work. You know, we can get through anything clean. You can get through anything clean. If you are struggling, just know that you can do this. You know, it's not easy all the time. I thought life was just going to get easy when I got clean. It's not easy, but, you know, it's worth living, and it's never worth using. You know, I'm definitely a part of the No Matter What Club now. You know, I never have to use again, no matter how I feel. I just, there's this thing my sponsor read in the, when she gave me my medallion recently, that's just really helped me in my recovery. And I'm also working on the third step right now for the, I don't know what time, but it's good stuff in the third step. Good stuff right here. It says, recovery doesn't exempt us from having to live through painful situations. At some point in our lives, we may have to mourn the death of a loved one or deal with the end of a relationship. When such things happen to us, we hurt, and no amount of spiritual awareness will take our pain away. We do find, however, that the caring presence of a loving power greater than ourselves will help us get through our pain clean. We find that we are able to feel our higher power's presence in the group, in our friends, or in talking to our sponsor. By tapping into that power, we begin to trust and rely on it. We can cease questioning why painful things happen and trust that walking through the difficult times in our lives can strengthen our recovery. We can grow in spite of our pain, or perhaps in response to it. And that's been what it's like for me this year. You know, it's been a lot of pain, but I know God has got me. God's had me this whole time. I was just fighting it, not paying attention to it, not being grateful for it or whatever, and now I can see it. I can see the evidence in my life, and I'm truly grateful to be clean today. I'm so grateful for the people I have in my life, for my sponsee is here, my sponsor's here, my first sponsor, Laura's here, and all these people who I love so much and care about. And, you know, I couldn't have done this without all of you. Without working the steps, without a relationship with the God of my understanding, and the love, you know? This is about love and hope. And today I am free. I have a lot of hope. I am single. It's not invitation. I'm a single person in healing right now. Not invitation for later on tonight when I'm getting lonely. But And like the last couple years, I discovered running. I've never ran in my life, except from the police or stuff like that, or away from people who were trying to get my money and stuff like that. But I started running, and I'm actually training for the Richmond Marathon this year. 26 miles. I am so pumped up, like running, like I really feel like my recovery is body, mind, and spirit, and I'm really trying to incorporate all those things to be a better me today. So thanks so much for letting me share. Yeah.
Let's hear it for you. Come on.